Righto, so guys, that was an interview that actually never went to air. Just to remind you here, it was on TV3. They had it in the archives there. It was from the Karaka sales. Part of that interview as well, he went on to say it was a non-negotiable. If they made it into government, controlling government, they would make it a policy free-to-air television. So, of course, when I posted the result, when it finally came through the other night, I had a lot of you on my Facebook page, Vici on Sports, saying, what does this now mean for that policy? What does it mean for the Clayton Mitchell bill, which was voted down in Parliament? Well, he joins us. Clayton, it's been a big few days. I know your head must be buzzing around with everything that has played out over the last couple of weeks, but let's get into what my audience cares about.
Sure.
Winston Peters says this is a non-negotiable. He's going to make it happen. My question to you is how?
Well, look, you know, firstly, just back it up, and hi, everybody, and thanks for giving me a call this morning, mate. It's actually been quite nice to get home and see the kids. I think they've forgotten what their father looks like. Here we are now in the cold light of day, and it's been certainly an exciting couple of weeks, and, you know, the decision that's been made now that everybody's aware of, I think, is by far the best decision that we could have made. You know, just going back to that Karaka sales, I was actually standing next to Winston when he was interviewed and asked about sport, and it's funny how that snippet of sound didn't even make it into the airwaves building up to the election. It wasn't until after the election. It kind of sort of snubs your nose, really, by the media. You know, why didn't they get out there and promote that? Why didn't they actually talk about that beforehand? It's almost sort of like thrown back in our face now. Now, where's your delivery? Where's your promise?
But because the thing is, Clayton, I can tell you the reason why, is the media were running out of stories post the election. You know that. So all of a sudden they find this snippet here. And let's be honest, I can say this, even though sport is my life and it's my career and my job, it's not a high priority for a lot of politicians and a lot of New Zealanders. That is fact.
Sure. Well, I can appreciate that, but it does make me sort of raise my eyebrows. You know, that was quite a big statement to be made, and I would have certainly thought, certainly around the time that this bill was coming too, because remember during January, the House wasn't sitting, and so this Broadcasting Games of National Significance bill that was on the table was about to come forward. So it was certainly relevant in January, but they certainly didn't give it any air time to try and promote it or push it through. So, but anyway, here we are now in the cold light of day, and I can only, because the discussion that we had throughout with both parties moving into this position that we got to now is in confidence. So I've got to be a little bit careful what I say and how I say it. But I can assure you that this conversation has come up. It was, you know, quite a prominent discussion with regards to how important broadcasting games of national significance, or basically live and free-to-air sports for New Zealanders, is. And I can assure you that it's still on the table for discussions. And I think that the interesting thing is, when you actually break it down as to why this bill didn't go through, from the perspective of the other people around the House that didn't support it, it wasn't because it's not a great idea. It wasn't because people in New Zealand don't want this to come through, because I think the vast majority of New Zealanders want to see these games live and free like we once used to enjoy. It was about how do we afford to do it. And so we get back to the point of saying, well, do we put the cart before the horse in this situation? Because there's a whole lot of variables we don't know about. We don't know how much money goes from Sky to pay for these rights. It's obviously behind a firewall of information. So there's a whole lot of assumptions that people make that we just can't afford to do it. And we still don't know those numbers yet. And I can only assume that as we sort of progress this new government through, we'll have access to more information being on the government benches and being able to sort of access.
But then, Clayton, I honestly don't think you can do. And I go back to the conversation you and I had several months ago when we mentioned things like America's Cup build, right, for the viaduct, the infrastructure that's going to need to be built for those syndicate bases. That's going to cost taxpayers, ratepayers, about $100 million. You can imagine the reaction of that. I heard Brent Impey, chairman of the New Zealand Rugby Union, on News Talk ZB with Larry Williams on Thursday. He was talking about these new appointments to the board. He was also asked about, you know, free-to-air sport and the NZRU. He said there is absolutely no way we will ever see All Blacks free-to-air in television on New Zealand televisions. No way.
Tony, I think you've got to also take a step back and go, you've got to understand the difference between the cost versus the value. And so when you look at the cost of all these things, you think, oh, goodness me, we can't afford it. But what value do you get from it? So if you're talking about $100 million of infrastructure spend for the viaduct, to put on probably one of the largest sporting events, you know, that's, you know, around the world as far as the money that it brings in, the opportunity that it creates, then you have to say the value is worth the spend, potentially. And so when we talk about the cost that it may, you know, what that cost may be for New Zealand taxpayers to put on broadcasting games of national significance, you start thinking about, well, what value does that bring to our country? What, you know, how's that going to lift our culture? How's that going to help participation rates? How's that going to stop child obesity? I mean, so there's the conundrum, and we don't know what the final value of the cost is. We can just assume what the value is going to end up being. And we've got so many. I mean, we're a country built on sports. I mean, everybody with one degree or another are and have been involved in sports for pretty much their entire life, even if it's just an interest. Well, there's a lot of people stepping away from that because they don't have access to it. And so what we're simply saying is access is key. If you want people to follow it and be passionate about it and get off the couch to go and pass the footy or shoot some netball hoops with their kids, then they've got to actually be able to look up to somebody and go, gosh, I want to be just like this person. Gosh, I want to get out there and just do what this person's doing. And we can't get that without access. And so that's why this bill and this broadcasting games and national significance live and everywhere is so essential.
So are you aware at all, Clayton, in these negotiations that happened between New Zealand First and Labor, was this particular non-negotiable, as Winston talked about? Now let's broaden this out. He talked about netball, as you say. He talked about, obviously, the All Blacks. He talked about Black Caps matches, so World Cup matches like we had in 2015 for the Cricket World Cup. Was that put on the table in those negotiations between Labor and New Zealand First?
Tony, I can't tell you the specifics of conversations, what went on. I can only absolutely assure you that this is very much still live and real, and we will be working through this to see if we can't implement it. And it'll obviously come down to cost versus value, but the debate will continue, and it is still very much a possibility that we could still see this in the future.
Clayton Mitchell with us out of New Zealand First as we look at anti-siphoning legislation, the potential that we would see and could see. I don't see it myself, but that's me being cynical as a journalist here on free-to-air television. The other thing here, Clayton, as well, let's say, you know, I agree with you. It would be marvellous to go back to the old days, but I also know that TV1 and TV3 aren't going to put into their pockets to put free-to-air television or sport there because it doesn't rate for them as much. But you look at, if you're looking at five sports, for example, the five key sports in this country, rugby league, netball, cricket, rugby, all of it. If suddenly you said that's going to go on free-to-air television, that is going to cost any government of the day in the vicinity of hundreds of millions of dollars. Who's going to want to pay for that?
Well, no, that's only assuming that it goes on to national broadcasters and that the taxpayers have to pick up the residual difference. You know, that's a big assumption to make, and it is a possibility that that could happen, absolutely.
Well, however,
in Australia, and they've got the anti-siphoning laws, and when you've got the big broadcasters over there, when they pick them up, they actually pay the broadcasting fee. They make sure that they've got the rights live and free-to-air, and then what they do to pick up the difference in income is put it behind a paywall on your smart device or your laptop or your notepad. And so that's where they pick up the difference, because now in today's age it's all about accessibility, and it's making sure that wherever I am, whatever bus I'm sitting on or whichever corner of the world I find myself, I can log on and actually watch these games live and free-to-air. Now that's where you can get some charge. But terrestrial television, if you want to switch on to Channel 7 or Channel 9, you'll be able to watch that game live and free. So there are other opportunities of income streams, but we're not thinking laterally. We're only thinking in black and white terms because our minds are still programmed to think the way it used to work when we had access to live and free games in the 80s and early 90s.
The other thing, though, Clayton, you look at the NZRU announced a couple of days ago with live streaming of All Black Test matches. So the end-of-year tour, I think, is going to be $25 for a couple of the non-Test match games. Now, the NZRU, and Steve Chu has said this to me this weekend as well, he says this is putting their wee toe in the water here because eventually, Clayton, you know, this is moving so fast, as you know, the whole technological industry with sport. Eventually now, you may not need Sky at all. You may be able to stream these matches. So again, that's another thing you're going to have to consider with this legislation.
Look, and you're dead right. We don't know what we don't know, and we're certainly getting into new territory. It's an exciting time for everybody. But, I mean, I think the writing's on the wall for organisations such as Sky, that they're only sort of programmed into one vein. And it's diversify or die, I would suggest. But this bill is not there to be anti-Sky or any business. It's actually creating opportunities, and it's opportunities for the masses. That's what it's all about.
So, Clayton, just to clarify this now, so we have, as I said, we have a government elect. We're waiting for it to be formally put into practice with the Governor General, all of that. So what do you do with your legislation? Do you put this back on the table? Do you have conversations about, you know, where this sits with Winston? As I said, I go back to that term, a non-negotiable. What happens now?
Look, I can absolutely assure you that this is a very important piece of legislation for New Zealand First. It is, you know, straight out of our manifesto. So to that end, it's still very much alive and on the table. We'll need to go through and look at numbers because it's a cost versus value issue now. You know, I understand, and obviously was in the House when Trevor Mallard was speaking passionately against the bill, but fundamentally they actually support the idea of it. The issue that they've got is what the cost structure is going to be. So it was turned down not because it wasn't a great idea, not because we don't want to see it, it's just how we're going to afford it and what's it going to cost. So now we've got an opportunity where we can work through the cost and values, and that's why I say it's still very much alive. Issue for us. It's something that we believe is important. Is it the most important thing that we've got and had to discuss? No, but to some people it is. But you're going to see some very, very good policies coming out that New Zealand First has fought so strongly for that are going to benefit New Zealanders both economically, socially, and actually, you know, and environmentally, that I'm excited about.
So for sports fans then, Clayton Mitchell, watch this space is what you're telling us. You're telling us to watch the space because now you're in a position to have more influence. And let's say this deal was done, the coalition deal was done, all of a sudden you've got that ability now to have Labor, the Greens on board. You've got sway now where you didn't have that 3-4 months ago.
Look, I don't know what I don't know. And sitting in opposition for the last 3 years was probably the best thing that could have possibly happened to myself because you learn pretty quickly how to find information and research and look around. And it doesn't matter if we're talking about fire and emergency funding or if we're talking about health and safety or we're talking about sports. You know, you really do have to get up to speed very, very quickly and hold the government to question on bills and things that they were doing. Well, now we're very much in the driving seat and part of that discussion moving forward. Look, I don't know what to expect as far as how that's going to work, but I'm excited about it because we'll be able to get some really genuine, meaningful changes made. And I think, as I just alluded to, as this coalition unfolds and you start seeing and hearing some of these policies, I think, Tony, even you're going to raise your eyes and go, yeah, actually, that's a bloody good idea. Why didn't the blue team go and do this sooner? Because it is actually about putting all New Zealanders first. Yep, there'll be some concerned people out there. I've had a number of emails of people, some of it not very polite, but the vast majority of people, I think, are talking very, very positively about this. New Zealand First mandate has always been to make sure that New Zealanders are put first in the forefront of people's minds and stop this globalisation and multinational spread taking over and putting their needs before ours, which is their profits over our needs. So this bill's a very important piece of legislation, not the most important piece of legislation to correct this country, but certainly will be some nice sweet cream on top of a big dollop of ice cream.
All right, Clayton, thank you very much. Clayton Mitchell out of New Zealand First, they put this proposal forward, which got voted down in Parliament for free-to-air television. Sam, I still don't see how this works.